Lowe'sCompany.com for details.
Couple minutes past the hour, 3 o'clock, local programming getting underway for a Thursday here on KGYM. Big show coming up for you. We're going to talk with Dave Kokin from Las Vegas, Jim Nelson to talk about UNI Panther football after the spring game. And we will discuss with you out there the comments from Wisconsin's Nigel Hayes yesterday. All that coming up on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class presented by Third Base Brewery here on KGYM. And from the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, we welcome you in on a Thursday. Scott Udash, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer here today. Gym Class getting started for a Thursday. As we mentioned, we got a great big show, star-studded show coming your way. So we're going to get right to it here for Thursday. If any weather problems pop up, we will be sure to keep you updated on that as well. Nothing severe out there as of yet, and hopefully we'll make it through another evening without any severe weather. Great to see that rain come down last night. Jim Nelson going to join us, talk UNI Panther football. We're going to talk to Smokin' Dave Kokin from Vegas here in just a little bit, and we'll get your thoughts about what Nigel Hayes, his comments, the former Wisconsin Badger basketball player. We will do that here before 4 o'clock. Four-pack of tickets for the an upcoming Cedar Rapids Colonels game is your chance to win today as well. We'll have that before 4 o'clock here on the Gym Class. And we'll keep you updated on what's happening in Charlotte, North Carolina. Tiger Watch 2018, the Queen City Edition going on. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and we'll keep you up to date on any weather alerts that may come up, become overcast here in eastern Iowa, and nothing on the horizon quite yet.
Not yet, anyway. Not yet. We're hoping that remains the case. A little bit of rain, the 380 corridor north, the Cedar Rapids to Waterloo, there's some rain right now, and it's moving kind of east-northeast at this point, so I'm playing weatherman.
I'd like to remind you, 4 to 7 this afternoon and evening, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn will take the KGYM road trip to Mulligan's on the northeast side of Cedar Rapids. And live show there, chance for you to win the last two seats or two of the last three seats to the Cubs and White Sox bus trip a week from Saturday. Three tickets remain. Two people will win seats at Mulligan's. You must be present to win.
I think they're going to pick that at 7 o'clock, mm-hmm. they said.
And one ticket remains for anyone out there interested. Go to the KGYM Radio website for details.
Yeah, should be fun. A week from Saturday, as that bus will be departing from Cedar Rapids. And they will make a stop in the Quad Cities, pick some more folks up there, and got to stop at the DeKalb Oasis. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't go east to Chicago unless you do stop at the DeKalb Oasis. So that is a must. So I think way there, way back, check it off your bucket list.
You want to kick your husband out of the house for a day? Go ahead and sign up, get that last ticket.
Or perhaps you want to kick your wife out of the house for a day, depending on how it plays out. But they'll have your chance to win a couple of those tickets coming up a little bit later today over at Mulligan's. Tiger's on the course right now. Let the folks know how he's doing.
He is indeed the Wells Fargo Championship in Charlotte, North Carolina. Beautiful weather there today. Tiger Woods, through 11, even par, which doesn't sound like much, but this is, as you know, Scott, a very difficult course. The leader right now, Jeff Ogilvie.
Blast from the past.
Haven't heard from him for quite some time. He's minus 5 through 12. A group of golfers at minus 4. Peter Malnati, Tyrrell Hatton, Johnson Wagner, Keith Mitchell. They are all at minus 4. Zach Johnson, the Cedar Rapidian, not playing this week.
Not playing this. One of the few big names that are not playing this week. This mm-hmm. this is a biggie. Probably this one, Players Championship, coming up in two or three weeks. And then Jack's Memorial ahead of the U.S. Open. Those are the three big tournaments from mm-hmm. between the Masters and U.S. Open time in mm-hmm. Shinnecock. So we'll let you know. We'll keep you updated on how Tiger is progressing here today. Big story, a couple of them nationwide. First of all, Ichiro is retiring, going to move up into the front office for the Seattle Mariners. Gotten off to a slow start. Was hitting 205, I believe, at age 44, and I think probably made the best decision that he could, and decided to step down, going to get into some front office work, I should say, with the Seattle Mariners. No doubt he's a Hall of Famer. First ballot Hall of Famer, I would imagine. Just take a look at his numbers, and I don't care if he spent the first 8 years in Japan or whatever it was. He put up sterling numbers in the United States and is going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, two-time batting champ and multiple All-Star appearances. Had almost 3,100 hits in Major League Baseball seasons. And a total, if you add in his hits in Japan, over 4,300 hits, almost 4,400 hits in a career that spanned, God, I think 27 years, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that I'd vote him first ballot.
I can't imagine why, but there will be people out there that some of the writers say, well, he played in Japan all these years.
Well, discount that.
I know that.
Discount that.
How many unanimous first ballot guys have there been over the years?
I know.
In the baseball Hall of Fame. So that's why I'm saying that is going to be the case. We'll see. 319-366-1600, the Hertien & Stocker Jewelers text line. And your comments are welcome. Hertien & Stocker Jewelers, located on the Penn Mall in Iowa City. Apparently true as well, Jason Witten retiring from the Dallas Cowboys, and he will be in the Monday Night Football booth as Mike Tirico, I believe Mike Tirico, correct?
Yes.
Will take over that airwave. And we'll see how it plays out. That means Kurt Warner did not get that job. So it will be a rookie Jason Witten. Tony Romo went from the Cowboys, got off to a little bit of a shaky start, but at the end of the year, I think everyone was in agreement, was a very good analyst. And we'll see if Jason Witten can be a good analyst as well.
I know nothing about him as an analyst. We're going to find out, but obviously much safer in the booth than it is on the field. And you talk about Halls of Fame, Witten's got to be there, right? He's number four all-time in receptions. Not among tight ends.
In receptions, period.
Period.
Right. I think he's a Hall of Famer. It was interesting. Golic and Wingo were talking about this morning, and I never really thought about this. Who are your Mount Rushmore of tight ends? I'm biased. I think Tony Gonzalez is the best that's ever played the position. Mm-hmm. But he played in obscurity for a lot of years on some lousy Kansas City Chiefs teams. But he has put up the numbers that are, for the most part, leading all tight ends. But you got Witten up there, Antonio Gates up there. They were talking about Kellen Winslow.
He was good.
I think Kellen Winslow is top five of all time. And they were kind of poo-pooing Kellen Winslow a little bit this morning. Maybe he doesn't belong in that particular group.
Noah Fant?
Not yet. Kellen Winslow.
Dallas Clark, come on.
Dallas Clark is one of the better tight ends. Kellen Winslow had maybe one of the best seasons for Eric Coryell and one of the best games, period, of anyone. Remember the AFC playoff game down in Miami?
Barely could move at the end.
But kept catching passes, and the Chargers beat the Miami Dolphins that day, and I think still was the greatest NFL football game that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Look it up. Give it a Google, kids.
Who else out there among tight ends?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, Ditka's in the Hall of Fame, but I don't regard him as a truly great tight end.
No.
Do you?
Eh.
He's good.
Good. The Hall of Good? You put him in at this point? They're talking about Gronk and how he...
And that's just popped up on the text
line.
Yes,
I was going to say, they're talking about Rob Gronkowski and how he kind of falls into the echelon here.
Yeah.
He catches touchdown passes. He's a tough guy. He's been hurt a lot more than the aforementioned group that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's one of the best tight ends of all time. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Is he the best? No, I don't think so. I think Tony Gonzalez was the best tight end of all time. But maybe other people have a different opinion on that. But Gronk is there. Jimmy Graham, where do you put Jimmy Graham? One of the modern tight ends. of this era out there.
Yeah, that's where the line gets blurred a little bit because Graham is, isn't he more of a hybrid type guy?
Well, he's kind of fallen down here in the last couple of years as well.
Yeah.
His productivity has definitely fallen off out there. 319-366-1600.
1921 claiming Joe Tessitore is the play-by-play guy for Monday Night Football.
Is it Joe? Okay.
Tirico's on NBC.
I knew that. That's why it sounded weird. But we'll see. That's an interesting booth. Joe Tessitore is a very, very high-strung guy. He gets very up for these games. I think he'll do a good job. Of course, known to many as the one of the voices of the new and not nearly as good Battle of the Network Stars. 13 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. A couple other things to get to. The pairings have been set for the annual Mountain West Missouri Valley Conference Men's Basketball Challenge that will take place November 27th through December the 1st. UNI will be on the road. They will be in Logan, Utah. They will take on Utah State, the Aggies. That's a good matchup for UNI. The headliner will go right out of the chute, and that is going to be a rematch of an NCAA tournament game this past season. Nevada and Loyola will be in Chicago. So that will be on the 27th. Also on the 27th, Boise State will be in Des Moines to take on the Drake Bulldogs. So that's a pretty good get for Drake right there. It was a 5-5 split last year between the Mountain West in the Mo Valley. The other games real quick, Southern Illinois at Colorado State. Valpo goes to UNLV. Indiana State at San Jose State. Missouri State at Air Force. Wyoming is at Evansville. New Mexico at Bradley. San Diego State will be at Illinois State. That's kind of the other marquee matchup as well. That's going to be on December 1.
On our tight end discussion, John in Dubuque throwing his support to Antonio Gates. And Darren in Iowa City throws out the name Vernon Davis.
Yeah, he was a good one. You go way back, even like a John Mackey.
Mm.
He's got an award named after him.
Yes, he does.
So he was a pretty good one. Pretty good one out there. Keep the tight end talk coming. We're going to talk some Nigel Hayes here in a little bit. We're going to get to Jim Nelson. Dave Koken coming up next. We talked yesterday, will Iowa make the NCAA golf? They did not. Just missed out on it. But they did get an individual. Alex Shockey is going to be going to the Columbus Regional as an individual. Iowa State, as we expected, did get in. They are the number 10 seed out in Stockton at the Stockton Regional. That will be taking place at the Reserve at Spanos Preserve. That sounds pretty swanky. And they're the number 10 seed out there. LSU is the number one team in the rankings out there.
Illinois, Ohio State, Michigan State, Purdue, Penn State. Maybe Northwestern. I didn't see for
sure. Five Big
Ten
teams I know.
But
made it.
Iowa beat three out of those teams in the Big Ten tournament, but that obviously wasn't enough.
Yeah, just the first part of the year, I think, doomed the Hawkeyes.
John from Tiff and Ozzie Newsome.
Oh! Yeah. I don't know how we could have missed that. Ozzie Newsome is a good one. No doubt about that. All right, we're going to take a break, come back. And when we return, Dave Koken's going to join us. We'll talk a little NBA and NHL games for tonight, and we'll do that next. You're listening to the Gym Class, 16 past 3 on KGYM.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
This is the sound of money. So is this. And this. It may not sound like money to you, but it will. Because you'll get paid while you learn to do it all. That's how the apprenticeship program at Carpenters Union, Local 308, Local 1260, and Local 678 works. You earn while you learn. So, no student debt. Check out CarpentersUnionApprenticeship.com. This is how you build a career.
Back with you here on the Gym Class for a Thursday on KGYM. Barry Abrams to talk Kentucky Derby with you tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to the 144th edition of the Kentucky Derby. We'll have it for you on Saturday afternoon right here on KGYM. We've got Twins and the White Sox coming up tonight for you here on KGYM.
Mano a mano.
Twins took the first series of the year between the two teams. Now they go to Chicago to play again.
Depleted White Sox.
Yeah, Yoan Moncada. Hey, many Christmas. Just coming off the 2-1-run losses to the St. Louis Cardinals.
Count on our listeners on the text line just coming up with tight end after tight end. 0189, Dave Casper.
The Holy Roller. That's what I remember about Dave Casper. But he was a good tight end as well for Ken Stabler and the Oakland Raiders back in the day.
Darren in Iowa City, Shannon Sharp.
Shannon Sharp, another good one. Another good one.
Maybe Rushmore's eight-headed, I don't know.
319, Dave Koken from Las Vegas joining us here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. And who are some of your favorite tight ends over the years, Dave?
You know, they'd be the Patriots guys, I guess. If, you know, well, I don't know. I don't, not a favorite players type of guy, really.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the things that I guess it's the downside of going into the gambling end of things for a profession is that you kind of lose your allegiances. You have to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as much of a Red Sox fan, I'm still a Red Sox fan, and I like the Golden Knights here in Las Vegas. But, you know, if I want to bet the other way for some reason, then I'm going to. So the favorite players and favorite teams thing kind of goes by the wayside to some extent.
I can understand that, no doubt.
Well, here's the upside. The upside of it is I get to root for different teams all the time.
There you
go. One day I might be a huge Braves fan. The next day I might be rooting for I'd say the Cincinnati Reds, but that never happens anymore. it's fun.
Well, Dave, one of your early plays today, maybe the only early play, was Atlanta over the Mets.
I did play the Braves.
Yes, and they paid you off nicely on 11-0 victory. Did you like Tehran, or what about this game did you like?
Well, there were a few things I liked, actually. One was that I was pretty sure that Tehran was okay. I had watched the game last week, and I actually tweeted in the very first inning. I said, I think there's something wrong with Tehran because his velocity, it's not a hard throw anyway, but his velocity was down like 84, 86, 87, and he looked uncomfortable. And sure enough, he goes out with a bad back. I was pretty sure that his back must be okay. They wouldn't bring him back otherwise because they didn't even need him here. Fulton Evich was on his 4 days rest and could have pitched this start. So the fact that they were using him indicated to me that he must be okay. The other end of it was Jason Vargas. I'm not really sure why they didn't give him a longer rehab. I mean, this guy was out for quite some time. He was pitching behind an L screen, which I think can screw with a guy's motion, to be honest with you. And then they sent him out there for one start in Las Vegas, which didn't work out well at all. He wasn't sharp. I'm not sure what the rush was to bring him back, and he's had two really bad starts since coming back. Now, you know, it doesn't mean that he's that he can't pitch and get better back to being Jason Vargas, is, you know, halfway decent guy, but right now he's way off. And then beyond that, I mean, the Mets started off, 11-1 or 10-1, I don't remember which. They've been a bad team since then, and the Braves are just tremendously energized right now. And this is a team that's, it looks like they're ahead of schedule, let's put it that way. I mean, the rebuild is, everybody knows it's coming, but the arrival of Acuna and the rise to maybe even all-star status of Albies this quickly, and then Freddie Freeman's out there. I'm telling you, this team's, their organization looks really good right now.
I agree.
And they're going in, man. They're sending the prospects up. They think they got a chance. So, hey, who can blame them at this point anyway? So, NBA tonight, if you can figure out the Cleveland Cavaliers, you're better off than I am. they barely dust off Indiana. Then all of a sudden they win against Toronto in game one. They play game two. It's an early start, 5 o'clock here in the Central region today.
I would say this. At this point, I have no faith in Toronto to be able to win the game. I thought they'd win game one. It was a perfect spot for them. And they're in great shape to do so early. They're in great shape to do so in the third quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, they turned back into the clock struck midnight, and they turned back into a pumpkin. They missed their last 11 shots in regulation. They were just awful down the stretch in that fourth quarter. What I think you get here is a big effort out of the gate from Toronto. I don't know if they can hold on, but I would look at Toronto first half in this game. I think they'll win the first half. They've got to come out and play their best basketball early in this game. They could catch Cleveland a little bit flat early, but I don't trust Toronto with a full game. So I would look at -3.5, -4 actually, in the first half if you're going to play the game.
The 76ers shot poorly from three-point range, really bad defense in the opener against Boston. Do you expect Philly to come back tonight?
Well, they're supposed to, because they're better than the Celtics at this point. But, how many times have we said this? And it's not something you can overstate. Brad Stevens is probably the best X's and O's guy in the NBA. He was great in college, and he's great in the NBA. And what he's doing with a seriously depleted roster is pretty amazing. I got to tell you, this team comes back healthy next year with Hayward, Irving, and what they've got and what they add. I think you can put Boston in the mix as a serious contender to win the whole thing next year. I don't know if they've got enough depth to get past this series. I think the 76ers might come back tonight, but I won't lay points in Boston against Brad Stevens.
Dave Koken joining us here at 3:24 on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Get to a hockey game here. Canada's team, the Winnipeg Jets. And they are at home, game four against Nashville. Can they continue? Tell you what, they get a 3-1 lead. Nashville, I think, is in some big trouble.
Well, I think I mentioned to you guys that one of the teams I like. And, they really showed why in the last game. I mean, they look like toast. I mean, they're just dead in that game. And they come back and win it. 3-0 down. And you'd never know it. Man, I'm telling you, they're on fire. This is a great matchup tonight. No idea what to do with it. I mean, it's a must-win. To me, it's a must-win for Nashville. And they are the top seed in the West and the defending Western Conference champions who got to the finals last year. So you know Nashville's going to come out and give it whatever they've got. But they were rattling at the end of the game the other night. Pecorini's arguing with the referee. And things aren't going real well for them right now. And that crowd is absolutely on fire right now. So I think from a handicapping standpoint, I would look at Nashville, but you don't have to bet everything, even if it comes up as a decent situational play, and I'm going to stay out of it.
Do you have a play tonight, Dave, whether it be baseball or any other sport?
Well, yeah, I took the Twins, and it's a little dicey because Reynaldo Lopez really has done a good job for the White Sox. He's also been pretty unlucky, and that's why he has no wins so far. There's going to be some regression. He still throws too many pitches outside the strike zone for my liking, and I think as hitters get more familiar with him, they're going to be a little more selective, so he could have a problem with walks moving forward. I do like Lopez, though. I think he's a talented young guy, but the White Sox, they're hurting right now. Now Moncada, I assume Moncada's not going to play tonight. I haven't seen an update yet. I haven't checked, actually, but I tweaked his hammy. It's not like the White Sox need to rush him back out there. So that's another hit to their lineup. They're still missing Avi Garcia. The Twins got a real lift yesterday from Fernando Romero.
Mm-hmm.
He's a well-regarded prospect, and he pitched a hell of a game when they needed one. They really needed one because the team had not been playing well. And I think that's the kind of, emotional lift game that a team can get from a rookie that might get them onto a little bit of a surge. The Twins have not played to their level of expectations so far this season. And maybe this is a good weekend for them to go on the road and at reasonable prices as far as the betting's concerned. And maybe have a good weekend series against the White Sox. I think this is a decent series playing the Twins, and I think they have a good chance to win tonight.
Mark's happy. I'm not. Mark's a Twins fan. I'm a White Sox fan. So,
well, look at it this way, man. I mean, the White Sox organization is loaded, just loaded.
Yeah.
And what you're seeing from the Braves now and a couple of other teams, you're probably going to see that from the White Sox within the next year or two. They've just got so many good guys coming up. Eloy Jimenez, I mean, everybody's buzzing about how good he is. And I'm going to throw this out there. I think in the offseason, I think he's a perfect fit in a big market on a team that's ready to contend. I think the White Sox are going to be a serious team, a serious contender to get the services of Manny Machado.
Mm.
By the way, that would move Tim Anderson to center field, which is where he belongs.
Yeah, yeah. You're not the first person to say that. Get him out of that shortstop position.
He's just not a shortstop. He's guy's very athletic, and there's no lack of effort on his part. I mean, he tries hard. He makes terrific plays on occasion. But you take that speed and his improving offense and put it in the outfield, and you've got a guy who could be an all-star down the road.
Yeah. All right, Dave, appreciate it as always, and we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy. I know you're not a horse racing guy, but enjoy the Derby for 2 minutes anyway.
I'm going to find out what Hank Goldberg likes because I know Hank, and he's really good at that stuff. So I'll find out what he likes and bet that.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
You got it, guys. See it.
Yeah, check him out on Twitter. His website out there as well, smokingcokin.com. Some good stuff out there from Dave. Quick break, come back. We'll talk a little UNI football. We're also going to talk about Nigel Hayes' comments. He made those yesterday as far as college athletics are concerned. So more to come before 4 o'clock here on KGYM.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents, which means you're going to start telling your kids to clean up before the cleaning lady comes. Doesn't make sense, but you're the parent and they're the kids. You're going to start telling them that now, too. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. And there's your opening to remind them who pays the bills around here. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
I'm KFC's extra crispy colonel, and you're the extra busy regular person who has to make dinner for a family of four. But you can shirk that responsibility because my extra crispy tenders $20 fill-up from KFC contains 12 extra crispy chicken tenders, 4 dipping sauces, 4 biscuits, 2 orders of mashed potatoes, and a side of coleslaw for just $20. And that'll feed them. KFC, it's extra crispy good.
Pricing and participation may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
Everyone in the neighborhood knew about Bobby. Bobby, the basketball boy, they called him. Bobby wanted to go pro someday, so he was always out in the driveway shooting hoops. But one day, his mom came out and told him,
"Hey, your wife wants you to take out the trash?"
His mom was visiting, and Bobby was a grown man. He had kind of missed his window. Plus, no one had ever seen him actually make a basket. But on the other hand, Bobby had heard how Geico could save him money on car insurance, so he switched and saved. So, it was all good.
Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts during Clean Car Month for great deals on everything you need to keep your car looking new, like Mother's California Gold Car Wash, now $4.99 for a 64-ounce bottle. Plus, earn double O rewards points. Bring out your vehicle shine with Mother's California Gold Car Wash at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
.331 back with you on the gym class for a Thursday here on KGYM. Our thanks to Dave Kokin for joining us. Twins and the White Sox, 107.5 FM. We'll have that for you tonight beginning at 7 o'clock. Back to the NBA tomorrow night. And we'll get back into playoff basketball over the weekend as well. Kentucky Derby coming up also that you can hear on Saturday right here on KGYM. 366-1600, phone lines, and the Hertin & Stocker Jewelers text line here. Talk football tight ends. We're going to talk about Nigel Hayes' comments here, and we're going to talk to Jim Nelson from the Waterloo-Cedar Falls Courier in just a moment as Jim covers UNI football. As UNI last Friday night had their spring game. They had a game.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Jim, one of the very few Cincinnati Reds fans around, besides Rick Swann.
Poor guy. Guys.
Yeah, it's been a tough year for those Cincinnati Reds out there. So we're going to get Jim on the horn here at 3:32. Again, keeping one eye on the weather. Nothing out there yet as far as some severe weather is concerned. But if it does pop up, we will be sure to let you know about it. They're thinking about later on tonight. So we'll see. Hopefully nothing severe.
Tomorrow, Barry Abrams on the Kentucky Derby. Mark it down now, Magnum Moon.
Oh, you're letting the kitty out of the bag. All right. And also Dan Shonk of Arlat Scouting Service. Mm-hmm. Talk about and wrap up the NFL draft. But Jim Nelson's set to join us right now from the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier. And give him a follow on Twitter. Go to the Courier's website as well. Covers UNI football for that publication. Jim, good afternoon. How you doing?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I'm doing good.
Yeah. Well, hey, you and I had an actual game for last Friday night, at least for a good part of it anyway. And what was a big thing you learned at the Dome last Friday night?
Really, I think it was more about figuring out what kind of depth they had and where some guys are going to go. I mean, a lot of the main guys did not play. You know, Eli Dunn didn't play. You look at Ricky Neal, did not defensive end, didn't play a lot. Jack Wager, who figures to play, Marcus Weimiller and running back, he didn't play. So, you know, and then they had a bunch of guys that were injured and didn't play either. So a lot of number one guys, the guys projected starters, didn't play. So they were looking at their twos and threes and maybe where they're going to have to move some guys, and maybe guys moved up, maybe guys moved down. You know, that's really, I think that was the scope of it, to see what they had after 15 practices. Is that, you know, really who are going to be their depth guys? Who are maybe going to be some guys that are going to move into the 1-2 role?
What are the strong positions and the weak ones right now? Those that need to be shored up, Jim.
I think, you know, if you're looking at defense, they're pretty inexperienced there. They lost they lost a lot of guys in the backfield. You know, they lost Elijah Campbell, conference safety, who signed a free agent contract with the Browns. They lost Malcolm Washington, a cornerback, who signed a free agent contract. Oh, I'm going to get it wrong. I want to say it was one of the Texas teams. He's from down around there. So two guys that are really missing out. If you look at it, all the candidates back there. And then on top of it all, two of the guys that they figured to play a big role next year did not participate. A.J. Allen, who's been playing free safety for him a lot the last 2 years, did not participate. And Nikolai Jekai was hurt early in spring and didn't. So those two guys that figured to be starting safeties didn't participate also. I would say corner or defensive backfield, they're really, really young. You know, Xavier Williams, a redshirt sophomore who played last year in all 13 games at a cornerback opposite of Mountain Washington. He's the lone veteran guy of the group. Everybody else has got no experience. They're all redshirt freshmen or sophomores. So they're going to be really young there. And I would say that's a concerned area or area they really want to shore up really fast. You look at that strength, I think their skill position, that wide receiver, quarterback, running back, I think they're looking pretty good there. You know, you look at Eli Dunn coming back. He threw for 26 touchdowns last year. I think only two other quarterbacks in Missouri Valley Conference threw for more touchdowns than he did last year. You look at the running backs, Marcus Weimiller's back. You know, Jack Wager's going to add it to it. You have Trevor Allen. They're pretty deep there. And then two guys that were injured, missed a lot of the spring, wide receiver Isaiah Weston and Jalen James. Should be able to pick up the slack of losing a Darius Fountain. I think they're pretty strong there. You know, you got Jalen Ryman. You know, I think he's going to come off maybe a sophomore slump, but he's going to have a big junior year. So I think they really look good. And then they got Bradley Moore in the last step, that tight end. So I think, you know, offense, they're a little farther along. They've got a little more depth there. A lot of returners. Defense, you know, you're looking at the back, you're looking at the defensive backfield, and then, you know, they got to find a replacement for Jared Farley, who basically is a 4-year starter. And, you know, right now, a redshirt, sophomore Jake Hartford, out of Minneapolis area, is running at that. He's a little bigger than Jim, probably the same speed. You know, I don't think there's gonna be a drop off, but I think once he gets going, he's really gonna fit nice in the middle there, at the middle of the defense.
Well, with the injuries, one of the guys that got to play a prominent role anyway last Friday night was Jalen Rima. Kind of came out the back half of his freshman year, did very, very well. Maybe not as good a sophomore year as he wanted to, but now ready for maybe a breakout year, I think, in his junior season.
Yeah, you know, he's got something that you know, just about every football team, a football coach values, and that's speed. You can't teach that. And he's got it, and if they can find him in the right matchups, I think they can really exploit that. I thought they, Not so much during the early part, in a couple of the scrimmages I saw. They had two scrimmages in the spring game, but a lot of times when they went to shell drills, they tried to go deep with him once or twice in those shell drills. You know, they were hitting that consistently. I think that's what they want. They want that deep threat, and they want him to be that guy. And he was that guy, especially in the last year. He kind of got behind the mix because of Isaiah Weston jumped up, and Jalen James had a good year, and then Darius was having a phenomenal year. So he kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit there last year. But, you know, I think they anticipated having a bigger role for him this year. It could be a breakout, you know, and they want him to be he's a big factor in the return game as a freshman. And I think, you know, he was back returning all those kicks and punts during the spring game. There's no returns he was fielding them, but, you know, they were saving injury, you know, trying to prevent injury. But I think he's going to be, they want him to be that guy, you know, return guy and the guy, the deep threat guy in the receiving game.
I don't know, by watching Darius Fountain last year, Jim, you felt that he was fifth-round draft pick, but that's what he was to the Colts. What do you think his prospects are making that team?
I think they're really strong. I you know, all the guys, I don't think anybody that I've covered at UNI has worked harder to get to where he's want, and, you know, and put in the extra work, and they have the right attitude and knows that, you know, he's going to, if the Colts have a developmental path for them, he's going to follow that developmental path, and, you know, he's going to get there. And you know, look at the incidentals. I think he had, during UNI's pro day, I think he had the highest jump. I think he went like that vertical. I think he went almost 43 inches, which was would have been higher than the highest of any wide receiver that went to the NFL combine. You know, and then, you know, he had a good three cone drill, and he had a good 40 time. He had one good one and two okay, but he was, you know, right in that 4-5 range, a little faster than 4-5. So, you know, he's got speed, he's got size, he's 6'2", 210. I think he's got a really good chance, and he makes a lot of great catches in traffic. You know, our contested catches, those on the boundaries, are in the corner of the end zone. He finds a way to position his body and shield the defender and make a catch. And I think that was what a lot of the pro scouts might have struggled last year, is how many of those contested catches he caught in the end zone and turned into points.
Jim, more excited to cover next year, you and I, football or men's basketball?
Well, that's a tough one to say. You know, you pick me because two guys I really like, you know, and Coach Farley and Coach Jacobson. But, you know, I the basketball team has been down the last couple of years. I think, you know, they're going to be looking to, you know, come back, and the excitement of A.J. Green coming in and what he can do and where he can, what kind of offense he can provide, you know, the one or the two position, that's going to make them excited. But, you know, I like the football team too. This offense, I think, is going to make another step forward. It'll be year two with John Bond as the offensive coordinator. They haven't had back-to-back offensive coordinators now in 5 or 6 seasons. So now year two, you think you're going to see some pros there with John Bond and, you know, and Eli Dunn, you know, is going to be one of the top quarterbacks in the league, maybe the FCS, you know, a big prototypical guy that control the ball and, you know, and distribute it really well. He showed that last year at times, and now he's got a gear on moving forward. I think it's going to be an exciting team. You know, every year I think I'm worried when they went into the fall camp that, boy, this defense might be a step behind. This defense might be a step behind. But as much as I said, they're inexperienced. Coach Farley, his staff, Jeremiah Johnson, defense coordinator, have done a great job of finding the right guys to get on that field. And the defense always is a strength of the team. So I'm excited for this football team. I think you're looking at probably an 8-1 season potentially there. They got a tough one right out of the gate with Montana. You know, you win that one, they could really bend some on the road. You know, build some momentum out of that. You know, and then they go to Iowa. So, but you know, I think this team has the potential to be a real contender there and push a couple of the Dakota schools in the north.
Yeah, the Missouri Valley always tough. Best 1AA N
FCS
conference in the country, certainly. But that first game in Missoula against Montana, I think it's going to say a whole lot about this UNI football team. It's never easy, no matter how good the Grizz are, to go up there and win a football game.
No, this has been my first experience up there, and as I understand, they're not quite, they're not super friendly. Maybe a friendly if you're not wearing purple, but you know, when you walk into that stadium, they're not too friendly to opposing teams, and they haven't been too friendly to you and I in recent years, playoff years and games up there. So that's gonna be a test. They brought in that old coach Bobby Hawk, I think, coming back. He was highly successful for them, and then he left, and now he's back, and
they're looking to rejuvenate this program. They think they've taken a step back last few years, and they're looking to get back to where they were. And so I think you're going to see a program really jacked up, and especially to play a team from the Valley right off the bat.
Well, Jim, appreciate it. Keep up the great work. We will talk to you soon, and it'll be football season before you know it.
Yeah, you know, they'll be back. They'll be practicing here pretty soon again.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Hey, Ben, anytime.
You can give me a follow on Twitter at Nelly13. That's NELLEY13 or WCFCourier.com. We're going to take a break at 3:43 as we head to break. Going to give you an opportunity to pick up our four-pack of tickets to a future Colonels game. Colonels, they have not allowed a run against the South Bend Cubs so far in two games. Hopefully they'll get a nine-inning game in tonight out of Veterans Memorial Stadium. We'll take caller number 6 right now. If your chance to win at Colonel's tickets, 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Go ahead and give us a call. When we come back, we'll talk about Nigel Hayes' comments after this.
Criminy queso.
You're no ordinary chip off the Puncheros pepper jack block. No, no, no. You're my made right here hunk of melted heaven. The zip to my chips, bonus to my burrito, and wowza to my whistle. But enough about me, queso. This is about we. And clock says it's crunch time. Poncheros, queso made fresh, burritos better built.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind. In school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
Save big on your home improvement projects now during Menards Super Sale. Laminate flooring by Tarkett is beautiful and easy to install. The Worthington collection is durable and it can be installed above, on, or below ground level. It also features an attach pad which reduces sound and installation time. Available in two color options, right now just $139 a square foot. Menards Super Sale is going on now through May 6th. Plus, Menards gift cards are perfect for Mother's Day.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back to the gym class at 3:45 for a Thursday here on KGYM. Congratulations to Janet in Alburnett. She is going to go see a Colonels game with three of her closest friends coming up. And we'll have another four-pack of tickets to give away tomorrow when we talk with Barry Abrams, In the Gate podcast. We'll talk Kentucky Derby. You already gave your pick away. So if people want to jump on that again, Mark, it was...
Magnum Moon.
Magnum Moon. Okay, I have not broken down the field yet. It's 20-plus again this year. Not a true favorite out there. I mean,
I just like alliterations.
You like that?
Yeah.
I might go with the Iowa Horse. We'll see. There's a crazy fact about the Iowa Horse I'm going to let people know about
tomorrow.
Yesterday, we talked about Nigel Hayes' comments. Are college athletes being exploited out there for their talents? And we said we were going to talk about that today. We want to hear from you out there at 319-366-1600. What do you think? Is Nigel Hayes said the Wisconsin basketball team was going to boycott a game against Syracuse in the ACC Big Ten tournament to show solidarity that athletes are being exploited out there. Are they being exploited? What side of the fence do you fall on out there? 319-366-1600. You had a chance to talk with our friend Mark Ironside earlier today.
I did, because I think this is a multi-layered issue. Football, men's basketball, I think are two different animals when it comes to the argument of exploitation. Other sports like wrestling, golf, soccer, whatever may be at the college level. Mark tells me there's all kinds of, well, not all kinds of ways, but current eligible athletes in wrestling can make money by working at camps as much as $1,000, $2,000 a weekend.
True.
And now they have to fill out proper paperwork and meet certain criteria, but they have an opportunity to make quite a bit of money. And I don't think that's exploitation. I think the NCAA has exploited wrestling because it only allows 9.9 scholarships. But to speak to Nigel Hayes, I wish he was listening to the show, but I know he's out in Sacramento or somewhere like that where he played this season. Football and basketball players, full ride athletes, I'll just reiterate what they're afforded, a full tuition.
Check.
Room and board.
Check.
All the food they want.
Check.
Coverage of medical expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Superior coaching in a lot of respects.
Yeah.
Branding.
Of their name.
Yeah. And for Hayes to say they're exploited, sign me up.
I'd do it.
Sign me up.
I know some people commented on Twitter yesterday about it. And if you'd like to comment, 319-366-1600 on the Hurtinus Dr. Jewelers text line. You can reach us on the phone line as well. That, you know, if you you went through that checklist, and I know some people tweeted yesterday that they went through that same checklist and said, hey, you don't want it, I'll take it out there. And a lot of people, you know, including myself, including both sons, that are out there paying, you know, their share of school loans mm-hmm. at this point. You went through that whole laundry list, and you haven't even mentioned all the soft money stuff that they get, snacks, etc., clothes, free clothes,
mm-hmm.
all kinds of free clothes out
shoes.
There. Shoes.
Yep.
Everything, a lot of things that you wouldn't even think about that athletes do get. Now, if Nigel Hayes has his jersey out there with his number on it, does he get a percentage of what is sold out there? No, he does not. And I know that's where he is coming from. O'Bannon of UCLA took the video game industry to court for using their likenesses, etc. And got basically everything changed, although the video game industry is now trying to strike back with using different monikers for schools and different nicknames and et cetera.
Getting some texts rolling in here, and we'll get to those, but let me just go beyond what I already outlined. During Nigel Hayes' career at Wisconsin, from 2013 to 2017, the basketball team visited Canada, Cancun, the Bahamas, and Hawaii. Probably not many student athletes are making those trips. And thank goodness Nigel was exploited to be able to make those trips.
Where are three places I've never been?
Man, Fairfax, it's hard because the one side will always say, but their school is free. Yes, it is, but major football programs are making millions hand over fist in terms of jersey sales, other apparel, etc., could afford to give their kids a small stipend. Nothing crazy, just a small percentage of said gear. Let me throw out an alternative to that. I have come to believe that college athletes own their likeness. In other words, if Nate Stanley wants to go out in the summer, let the NCAA put a $5 autograph, tops, $10, whatever it may be, if Nate Stanley wants to come to Lindale Mall and sign autographs for 2 hours, he should be able to make all the money he wants. He owns his name. Mm-hmm. Yes, he's making his name as an Iowa football player, but I really believe they own their own likeness and should be able to make money in that way.
Like wrestlers are able to make, or whatever the case may be, money at camps. And et cetera. Now, we heard from Brian Haas yesterday, golfers are not allowed to work in the golfing industry,
mm-hmm.
which makes, I guess, some sense, although in another way, it doesn't make any sense out there. But, for example, a basketball player would not be able to, you know, try to work in the basketball industry where he could possibly help his craft, is what the NCAA, I believe, is getting at.
8092 on the text line. Don't forget, pertaining to football, if they go to a bowl game, they get lots of free stuff. When I go, when they go.
When they go.
I think it's a $500 or $600 limit. They get gift bags.
Yep.
Gift cards.
iPods.
All kinds of stuff, yeah.
Things like that. Now, they don't always keep them.
Now, I will. The sidebar to this is the NCAA is the most ridiculous organization there is. We talked the other day about Arika Ogunbowale.
Yes, on Dancing with the Stars.
Notre Dame junior basketball player who had to acquire a waiver from the NCAA to participate on Dancing with the Stars. By the way, anybody on the show makes $125,000 automatically. I looked into this today. The NCAA said she was allowed to collect that. She is allowed to collect that money because whatever she makes on Dancing with the Stars doesn't pertain to her basketball abilities. It's dancing. Are you kidding me?
But
if she wouldn't have made those two buzzer beaters,
she wouldn't even be
She
there.
Wouldn't have been on Sports Illustrated. She wouldn't have been on Ellen DeGeneres. She wouldn't have been on Dancing with the Stars. So it was her basketball ability that got her there. But the NCAA is allowing her to collect tens of $100,000.
But a coach can't pay for a bus ticket for somebody to go home and see their mom.
No, they can't entertain the team
over Christmas.
At a barbecue at their home.
Nope. That's the problem.
It's such a stupid organization.
The inconsistencies out there. 319-366-1600, about 4 or 5 minutes remaining here, if you would like to comment.
Matt in Michigan basically says if they don't want to be exploited, don't sign the letter.
And that's not the reason why these players are now, especially basketball players, what I'm talking about, are going to Europe now, are going to the G League, or want to change the one-and-done rule. That's a whole different kettle of fish, I believe. This is always going to be there. And again, I know that some people want to have these athletes get a small stipend, but then again, you bring up the age-old question, where does it stop? Where do you draw the line?
Listen.
Football players get $200 a month. What are you going to do with, for example, a person on the University of Iowa rowing team? Are they going to get $200 as well? Because rowing doesn't have the budget that football does, certainly. And they don't have the money there to pay them in that small stipend. That's another thing to look at.
I'm totally against stipends. Listen, Scott, if anybody out there believes that prominent football and basketball players aren't getting free meals at local restaurants near their campus, or a couple free drinks in the local bars because those owners like the program.
I've seen
it. And they want to be connected. I've seen it.
You've seen it.
It happens. I don't know how much pockets are lined, but these players are getting advantages.
Very much so. What do you think? If you are an athlete out there and you believe you were exploited, give us a call. We want to hear.
How were you exploited?
I don't know, but
how?
I'm inviting them to let us know. 319-366-1600. Here in our final few minutes here of the Thursday edition of the show.
But most people that work for companies don't get all that. Housing, medical, food, travel.
You're right. We haven't gone to Hawaii on a KGYM
no, we
business
haven't.
Trip, have we?
Somebody sponsor a road trip to Hawaii for us.
Speaking of that, the Todd Rommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn will be at Mulligan's coming up next from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock. They invite you to stop on by on Old Marion Road before 7 o'clock tonight. Certainly. So we do get to go to Mulligan's. We appreciate that.
Nothing wrong with that.
No. Nothing wrong with that. 319-366-1600 here if you'd like to weigh in on the subject before we depart today and hand things off to the northeast side from the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, where, by the way, the rain has started to fall. Again, nothing severe as of this point, but keep your fingers crossed. Hopefully it won't. I think every track meet, by the way, has been pushed to tomorrow or Monday.
Mm-hmm.
MVC yesterday moved everything. And I think pretty much every other conference has now gone either tomorrow or Monday. So check it out with your track athlete out there.
Sorry we couldn't get to the last couple texts, but this is a...
you can go ahead. We got another minute and a half.
All right. Ryan from Walford, instead of scholarships and dictating how the money is to be used, give all students who earn a scholarship a check. Excuse me, my screen rolled. A check they can cash in a class on how to use it. Or budget money, I'm sorry. They can use the money however they please. If they don't use it for school, they can pay back their loans after they graduate like everyone else.
Interesting. Interesting take on it. What else you got out there?
No, Joe, we are not being exploited. I feel very fortunate to do what we do. A little bump on that next check would be okay. But
oh, man. Thank you for that. I needed that. Yeah, and this is not going to stop today. This is going to go on and on. And
no, we visited this in one form or another a few times, but the exploitation thing just gets under my skin.
Do you? And I think there is no doubt within the next 10 years we are going to see football and basketball players paid in college. And I'm not going to be for it, but I'm just going to say it right now. I can see that as the next wave
happening.
Be
ready to pay $150 for a game ticket.
And a lot of people won't. A lot of people won't. Yeah, they want beer sales next. That's what they want. All right, good job to our listeners out there. Stay tuned. Tom Rommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That's coming your way next. We'll talk Kentucky Derby tomorrow. We'll talk the NFL draft coming up tomorrow as well.
I'm KFC's extra crispy colonel, and you're the extra busy regular person who has to make dinner for a family of four. But you can.